Today we're talking about a brand new tech e-learning platform, and you have to check it out. Have you ever
felt? Are you listening?
Welcome to the People in Tech Podcast, your resource for all things happening in tech. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, tech people? Welcome back to the show. And today we have a great interview in store for you today. I have Warren Schaefer, CEO and co-founder of Knowable. Knowable is one of my favorite apps on my phone. And really, Knowable is a venture-backed audio platform whose mission is to unlock billions of hours of learning in order to help people achieve their potential. So Warren suffered from the same issue a lot of us have. You want to expand your skill set, you want to learn something new, but it's really hard to find time to sit down and watch video courses. So what Warren ended up building with him and his team is a e-learning platform that's audio based. So courses include things like how to podcast, how to get into real estate, how to speak with confidence, how to build an app, how to build a business. The list goes on, and they are constantly building out new content. Now, what I'm really excited about is during a time like 2020, something like Knowable is something that is very, very helpful, because the reality is many of us like to multitask. And like I said earlier, it's hard to sit down and watch a 20-hour video course on how to build an app. So I'm excited for today's interview. We're going to ask Warren a little bit about his background, how he got into Knowable, and then the history of the company, and then what to look for moving forward. Going to be a great episode. Let's get into it. Tweet, chat with us on Twitter. One more thing, tech people, I forgot to mention. Make sure to go to our website, peopleintech.io, sign up for our mailing list, and then also join the Facebook group. We're trying to build a community of tech people where you can help, communicate, and grow together. Enough of me talking, though. Let's jump into this interview. Warren, thank you so much for being on the show. And before we get started, we always love to ask our guests, how did you get into tech?
First off, hey, Caleb. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Really excited to be here and to talk with you. My entrance into tech started, I think, when I was a kid, by virtue of running a lemonade stand and then realizing that I could actually get other people to help run the lemonade stand and grow the lemonade stand. And that was my first taste of scaling and realizing that when you work with other people or you build systems, you can amplify your efforts. And I spent some years living in San Francisco, and a lot of my friends were starting companies and ended up moving on to LA to be closer to family, but found an accelerator in LA and found my people there.
Okay. So like you said, your very first job is running a lemonade stand franchise. Let's call it a franchise. But, you know, Warren, we did some research on you. We have a timeline on you. So lemonade stand was your first one, but we heard the worst job you ever had was a parking lot attendant. So
yeah.
Tell us a little, like, what made that the worst job? Just curious.
I guess I think of the lemonade stand not as a job and more of as a business. So I really enjoyed that. The first job I really had was being a parking lot attendant, and my job was to sit in a chair and make sure that no one parked in the parking lot and then went to the beach, which was ridiculously far away. So no one ever really even did this. And it felt like a really pointless job. I felt like I wasn't having a positive impact in the world. And it also just felt really tedious and repetitive. And I didn't last long there.
So safe to say, maybe not enough of a challenge for you.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Okay. And then let's fast forward a little bit, because I want our listeners to know a little bit about you before we dive into Knowable. So cool. We understand lemonade stand, parking attendant, typical things that most of us do. What we don't usually do is get into investment banking. So you worked at JP Morgan, you graduated from Harvard, you were an investor at Golden Gate Capital. So my question is, were you always a financial person? Did you have a background, anybody in your family helping you with these things?
I'm first generation American. My parents came to the States a couple of years before I was born from Eastern Europe, and they didn't come with much, but they landed in a really affluent neighborhood in Newport Beach, California. And so I got to see that a lot of people knew how to make money. And I think that was, you know, I knew it was possible. So that was helpful. And my family kind of dissolved when I was 12. I actually ended up moving in with friends who lived down the street. And so I took out a lot of student debt to pay for Harvard and knew that I wanted to pay that off as quickly as possible. And working in finance felt like a really great foundational education, because you learn practical skills that are important for any business at the end of the day, right? You have to know how to finance it. And B, it was a path to making money quickly so that I could pay off my student loans, save up some money early in my life, and be able to have the chance to then take a risk, quote unquote, by working on a startup later.
So let's talk about taking a risk. A lot of our listeners, Warren, they come to me, whether they have ideas, they have aspirations, they say, hey, I have the next Facebook, I have this amazing app, I want to do whatever the case is, right? Now, at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, you had a great job as an investor. What was the breaking point for you to say, you know what, I need to take a risk and try to do my first startup?
Yeah, a lot of the people on the finance track will spend a couple of years at a private equity firm and then go to business school. And as I was thinking about business school, I realized that if I went to business school, I would take on more debt, in which case I'd have to get a high-paying job to pay back that debt reliably. And that, to me, at the time, actually felt like a bigger risk than not trying something on my own and taking a different path. And I think that if you do the thing that everyone else is doing, you will by definition have an average outcome. So you have to really be thoughtful of who do you want to model your outcome after and who do you want to be down the road. And when I looked into the future, I felt like I would regret not trying to start something and to scale something and to have a big impact.
I like that. So let's talk about your first startup. My understanding was a company called Social Engine. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were some ideas and half starts before that, but Social Engine was the first real startup where I had a leadership position. And I had teamed up with my current co-founder, Alex, who actually had started it even before me. And he brought me on to co-run it. And we ended up scaling the business and selling it in 2014.
So let's just talk about the thought process and, you know, this overall journey of saying, okay, I have a job. I have my friend Alex, you said?
Alex, yeah.
And, you know, finally coming together and saying, like, let's do this. Was it something you guys were, you know, having a beer over? He pitched your idea, you pitched your idea. Outside of that, was it, okay, Warren, quit tomorrow. Well, let's start doing this 9 to 5. Just help our listeners understand the journey.
Yeah, there's actually a step between meeting Alex and working on Social Engine together. And that was, I moved from San Francisco to LA to be closer to family and ended up working out a Mucker Lab, which is an accelerator that's been around for about 8 years, but was just getting started when I had moved to LA. And I had teamed up with my brother to help him with an idea that he had come up with. And we basically made every first-time founder mistake possible and ended up deciding not to move forward with the idea. And Alex, around the same time, had also had a founder breakup. And so we both got to know each other, sort of commiserating over the challenges of having a founder relationship, and just started talking about ideas that we would be excited to work on together. And I was contracting with some other startups, including Tastemade in LA, but just kept coming back to this idea of Alex was somebody that I wanted to work with, and I felt lucky enough that he felt the same. And yeah, we have really complementary skills, so we're excited to work together.
So let's talk about those skill sets. So is it safe to say you're more on the business financial side?
That's right, yeah. And Alex is a designer and a developer.
Okay. So were there, I guess, obstacles in terms of, I feel like a lot of people struggle with, they have maybe one part of a startup idea, or they have this one particular skill set and they don't have the other. And know, building that trust, building that relationship. So I guess my question to you, Warren, is, you know, how did you know it was something that was working? What was some tail signs that you're like, this is actually positive and we should keep moving forward?
Yeah, the clearest sign for me was Alex would talk to me about what he was working on, and I was excited to drop everything and work on whatever problem he was presenting me with. And that's such a great feeling. You kind of, you just know it when you see it or feel it, but it's flow, right? It's that sense of, oh, my skills are at the level of this challenge. And that's really exciting. And it feels like a growth opportunity. So that really clicked when Alex and I started working together.
Now, did you ever feel you didn't have enough experience or you weren't necessarily qualified to be a CEO, be a founder? Did you ever have that self-doubt?
Definitely, all the time. I think like up until maybe this year, I felt a lot of doubt. And I think that's so normal. I'm glad you asked that question. I just want to normalize that fear for everyone. We're all figuring it out as we go. And for me, there are so many lessons I've learned along the way. Experience is just so valuable. But the Fred Wilson adage of what does a CEO do, and simplifying it to the point of three steps. One is set a mission for the company. Two is find and hire the best people to fulfill that mission and make sure that they know what the mission is. And three is make sure there's a way to pay those people. I think you can do a lot more and you need to do a lot more too, but at the core of it, that's a CEO's job. And so realizing that and staying focused on that has been really helpful.
So 2013, you're working on Social Engine, makes really good progress, and then eventually gets acquired.
Yeah.
So how was that? What was that like? I mean, was it a email, a text, a call? And then, you know, what was going through your mind? You're like, holy crap, like we did it.
Yeah. Selling a company, it requires so many things to align, right? It requires a seller, the right buyer, the right seller interest, the right price, the right timing. So it felt like an accomplishment to find somebody else that wanted to take it and continue to run it and continue to grow it and make sure that the customers were still served and on terms that were great for Alex and I. And, you know, for him and I, we had some other ideas that we thought would be bigger and more scalable. And it made sense to focus on those ideas and let Social Engine be cared for by somebody who was more interested in focusing on that business exclusively.
Very cool. And that totally makes sense, right? Like, I think that's probably something a lot of my listeners, and including myself, struggle with. It's the idea like, okay, I have a decent idea, but I don't think it's going to be a Facebook.
Right.
But you are making momentum. It is filling a niche. You are, you know, you have a market that you can really tap into. So, but also understanding like an exit strategy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to know where your business fits in the world, right? Is it, can it be something like a Facebook that can be a platform that can grow and span the globe? Or is it something that feels more like a lifestyle business? Having a clear sense of what you're trying to build from the start is really valuable.
So you go from your first startup, then you go into your next one, which I heard of. And for Dayball listeners, for those of you who aren't aware, Warren then was CEO and co-founder of VidMe. And what VidMe acquired by Giphy?
Giphy, yeah.
Giphy, yes. And we all use Giphy all the time. And when I saw that, I was like, holy crap, this was a guy who worked on that? That's amazing. But it's ultimately the YouTube Reddit hybrid. This is one way I would sum it up. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. It evolved over the course of its life, but it really was, in many ways, I think we called it a love child between Reddit and YouTube. And in terms of, you know, user generated video, but crowd curation and categories being more important than just followers. We also were, to our knowledge, the first platform to introduce direct fan to creator tipping too, which we're really proud of.
Oh, really?
A lot of creators made money who, you know, they wouldn't necessarily have made money from ads, but were able to monetize a devoted and excited audience.
Very cool. So Warren, I want to give you opportunity because the reason I'm excited about this episode is I want to talk about Knowable.
Cool.
So I'll let you pitch it. What is Knowable? Why should people download this app?
So Noble is a place where you can get really high quality audio first education. We bring together awesome audio storytellers from places like NPR, Washington Post, New York Times, and we marry them with leading experts to create podcast style courses so you can learn without having to stare at a screen. That means that you can learn on your drive, on your walk, on your run, at the gym, doing dishes. We want to help people make the most of their time so that they can learn more and get closer to realizing their potential.
And day one listeners, so it's kind of funny, me and Warren were talking about this in a green room before, but the way I found Knowable was, you guys know I'm a huge fan of learning, so I've gone Masterclass, but Masterclass is all video. And my issue is I run, I walk my dog, I'm outside, whatever the case is, and I listen to a lot of audio. Usually it's podcasts. And I was just thinking to myself, there has to be like a Masterclass for audio, and I find Warren's idea. So before I ask my next question, I do, because I'm a huge fan of it, Warren. Very, very impressed with a lot of the courses you guys have on there. From the launching the startup to speaking with confidence to, I know Negotiate Anything is coming out soon, but not only do you have great content, you actually bring in real experts who chime in.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for being a fan. We're glad to have you, Caleb, and are always looking to improve the product. So maybe we can spend some time too talking about ideas that you have. But in terms of the experts, we really pride ourselves on finding the very best, both in terms of their knowledge and their ability to convey that knowledge. So the way our courses are structured are, we actually, each course has a host who has a lot of audio experience, who can then go and talk with the experts and make sure that we're extracting the nuggets of wisdom, the real actionable insights, so that we can share those with the listeners and really maximize their learning per minute.
So my next question for you, Warren, why is audio the new frontier for learning?
Glad you asked that. So a few things. One is that audio time is increasing for a lot of people, setting aside the coronavirus, and hopefully it resolves soon. But if you're in your car, it's really hard to stare at a video screen, right? Or if you're running or at the gym or doing dishes or walking your dog. But things like wireless headphones and connected cars and smart speakers are opening up audio time like never before. And when you look at the e-learning space today, it is projected to be a $300 billion market globally in the next 5 years, and maybe even more than that, thanks to COVID. And yet every player in the space is focused on video and this idea that you have to stare at a screen in order to learn in a structured way. However, the number one reason, Caleb, that people say they listen to podcasts, according to a recent Edison research report, is that they want to learn new things. So like you saying you want to learn, that's why people are going to podcasts predominantly. And we want to be the audio learning company because we see a void in the market. And frankly, the whole idea started from my own problem, which is I've become a parent in the past few years and my free time has shrunk. And yet I want to keep learning. And finding video courses that can keep my attention staring at a screen, it's hard. But I do have audio time, and I'm excited to help others fill that time and myself as well with great educational expert-led courses.
And yeah, I'm totally with you there, Warren, because I'm listening to the launch of startup course, which you currently offer. And one thing I really enjoyed about that, I was listening to it on a business flight to San Antonio. So this is pre-COVID-19, but yeah. I'm just thinking to myself like, okay, I downloaded my chapters. Getting on the plane, it's only about a 2-hour flight from Phoenix to San Antonio. And what I really enjoyed about your guys' courses is it's not just audio, but you are adding some action items where it's like, hey, here are some resources and here's some information you can click on and, you know, maybe create whatever it is that course is specifically talking about. But I do want to talk about something because I'm going to be a future parent coming soon.
Cool.
How has becoming a parent made you a better entrepreneur?
First, I want to mention the resources and clarify that we think of ourselves as an audio first education platform. So really our goal our mission statement is we want to help people learn more so they can achieve their goals. We happen to think that audio is such a great beachhead into the education space, but we really want to be your companion however we can. So things like resources are really crucial. And for the startup course, I don't know, Caleb, if you noticed, but we struck a deal with Amazon Web Services where anyone who takes that startup course gets $1,000 in free credits from AWS. So we really wanted to make the course that we wish we had when we started out as entrepreneurs. And we want to give people everything we can to increase their chances of success. So that was just a first mention on the resources point.
Which is amazing, by the way, because $1,000, and for anybody who hasn't worked with any cloud service technology, like for example, Google Cloud Platform, you might get $300. That's pretty much enough to set up a static website, not touch it for a year, and you still might cut it close. So $1,000 in AWS is plenty to at least get an MVP out there. So that is phenomenal. I saw it. I did not necessarily know about it. So that's something I need to go back to and check in.
Yeah. I just saved you $1,000.
You definitely did. Thank you so much.
going to your other point about parenting, well, congratulations again. We talked about it a little bit in the green room, but it's an exciting chapter. And I think there's really a before and after for becoming a parent. It's really, really hard to know what it's going to be like until you're actually in it. And the reality is it's really consuming. And I used to think that you couldn't be a parent and a successful entrepreneur. And obviously I'm biased, but I've changed my thinking a lot about that because I think being a parent actually forces you to really be thoughtful with your time and really focus on what your priorities are too. Because when you have a child, you want to spend a lot of time with that person, and you need to weigh your alternatives very honestly. So, you know, do I want to be spending time in this meeting or do I want to be spending time with my kid? And it forces you to be more critical of leveraging your impact and your time that you do have. So I feel like it's maybe a more efficient entrepreneur.
That gives me hope because part of me says, hey, I'm going to have this paternity leave. I'm going to have all this free time because the baby's going to sleep every 2 hours and I'll be... We'll see how it actually goes. I'll check in with you in a few months, Warren, to see how I'm doing. But that's very positive for you to say and gives me hope too, because the one challenge, and maybe this is more of a mini vent for me, but I do get frustrated when I hear people say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I got kids. I got family. I just don't have time. And, you know, I always like to say, you know, you control your time. And yeah. That kind of piggybacking off your point, you know, it's just forcing you to be more organized, prioritize what's important to you, and making sure there are things they're getting addressed.
Totally. It's not easy, and it certainly requires sacrifices, right? We all are operating with the same number of hours, but there are ways that you become more efficient, and you have to remember that necessity is the mother of invention. So if you've got 40 hours to make an idea work and you really care about that idea, you can do it.
So, Warren, recently I started reading the book Start With Why by Simon Sinek. I don't know if you've checked it out yet. But one of the things, it pretty much the title says itself, like, what is the why? A lot of us talk about the what. A lot of us like to tell you the how. You know, we are a computer company. We make amazing computers. How we do it, we have the best manufacturer. But end of the day, what is the why? So my question to you, why did you start Knowable? What is Knowable's why?
Yeah, Knowable's vision is to unlock billions of hours of learning time for people around the world so that they can get closer to realizing their potential. And to me, I think it's the why is such an important question, right? Because it's not about, oh, we're masterclass for audio. It's about what is it we're trying to have an impact and thinking about our end users first, our customers first, and how we can have a positive impact for them and give more value than we take. And I think any company or entrepreneur that does that will ultimately be successful, right? If you're giving more than you take, you're going to add value to people and then to yourself ultimately too.
Right. So Warren, the reality is it's 2020. A lot of us are, you know, fighting this coronavirus, COVID-19, which is very unfortunate. But I did want to bring this up because I'm curious, your startup,
you know, you guys are trying to, you know, make an impact in the world, but something like this occurs. How are you managing this? Do you have distributed teams? You being CEO, what has been your leadership style going through this time?
Yeah, so just for time setting, where it's March, where we're in mid-March, so this has been going on for, in seriousness, for a couple of weeks now, and it's definitely been a challenging time. Fortunately for us, Noble was already a distributed team, so we're used to working remotely, and also fortunately, we don't have a retail presence or a business that requires, you know, customers, foot traffic, customers who are coming in through foot rather. And so we're in a really fortunate position as a business. For me personally, we're actually working on a course right now. It's going to be a free course on working from home. And the goal with this course is actually for it to be about the emotional side of working from home. Right, there are a lot of practical guides of, you know, hey, take a shower in the morning and put on your pants and talk on video. But I think not a lot of people are talking about the emotional challenges of working from home when your kids are also at home and your partner is also at home and the world feels scary for a lot of people. So as a good teammate, I am really just trying to be a good human to the people around me. And that means checking in on them. We do a weekly standing meeting on a weekly Zoom on Mondays with the whole team. And we start off just by talking about tips for self-care. Like, what are people doing to look after themselves? Checking in on people, asking them how they're doing. And that's, you know, we have an agenda doc and it's the first 10 minutes of the meeting are just checking in on everyone as a human.
So what technology, software, solutions you would say are critical that allows you to not only continue to move forward with your work, but to really thrive in a time like this?
Yeah, Zoom has really made remote work possible. This is the first company that Alex and I have run totally remote. And I think when it was over Google Hangouts, it wasn't quite good enough. But with Zoom, the latency is low enough to where you feel almost like you're with that person who you're talking with or the people that you're talking with. So Zoom has been really critical. Slack certainly helps to keep everybody on the same page and, you know, people who aren't in the same space realizing that work is happening in different pods. And Google Docs, certainly, those are the big three for us.
Okay. And I'm curious, how big is Noble as a company?
We're 10 full-time right now.
That's amazing. Because I'm not going to lie, I would be under impression that based off the content you guys create, I would assume 50 to 100, maybe even 200.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really impressed with the team that we've put together, and everybody really cares about the mission and serving our customers and over-serving them. And yeah, we've done a lot in a short period of time.
Very cool. So Warren, I like to go into a segment of the podcast called Rapid Fire. So okay. I have a few fun questions for you. Do not feel pressured if you cannot answer them, because I have plenty more to give you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, I'm going to start with four and let's see how you do. So your first question, Warren, if you can undo one moment in your life, what would it be?
I don't have an answer for that one. I feel like, yeah, I don't have any regrets.
Next question. I like it. Warren, brag to me about the best thing going on in your life the past 30 days.
The best thing going on for me in the past 30 days is I am hosting this course on work from home. It's going to be a free course, and I think it will be exceptionally helpful to a lot of people at a really challenging time, and that feels really good.
Next question. What characteristic are you most known for?
I don't know. Good question. Probably, maybe I have curly. I have kind of like unkempt curly hair. I think that's my trademark look.
The hairstyle. I can take that.
The severe side part, yeah.
It makes you unique. It's awesome. I like it.
Thank you.
All right. One more question. I don't like that question. Let me come back. Let me ask you this question. I really like this one too. This one might help you, it might not. If you had someone following you around all the time, what would you have them do?
I think I would ask them to remind me to be present.
That's a valid one. I cannot tell you, Warren, how many meetings I'm in and people are playing Two Dots and, you know, Angry Birds, and I'm like, close your laptops.
Yeah.
15-minute meeting. That's a very valid answer.
It's so powerful when you can really be present, especially today. We're so pulled in so many directions, and I think multitasking is very unproductive and very deleterious for personal happiness and, yeah, achieving goals. So finding then, that a voice to remind you of staying in the now would be a good one.
I like that. I have one more question for you, but I just want to tell you, I asked my wife that question. She's always like, oh, somebody had to answer their phone for me because I don't want to answer it.
Oh. So. Oh. Well, it's just, she's in the band. She's a popular person.
Yeah, apparently. So, Warren, last question for you. Let's say you have your once-in-a-lifetime dinner. Who are the four people you're inviting to dinner? Past, present, can't really say future, but past and present.
I'm certainly going to take, I'd like to take my wife and my kids. So maybe we're just hanging out with one other person.
They're already there. I mean, you got to pick somebody.
That's some other people besides my family.
Yeah. Let's assume family and friends. Those people are there. These are four individuals who you're like, man, I would love to have a conversation with that person.
Yeah. I think Bill Gates is extremely interesting. I think Elon Musk is extremely interesting. I think that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is amazing and an inspiration for my daughter and me. And one more person. Maybe Jerry Seinfeld too.
I like Seinfeld.
Gotta have somebody entertaining. Just to add some comedy to the event.
I like it. Well, Warren, we're about to come to the end of this interview. I want to give you opportunity to let our listeners know what is next for Knowable, what is next for you, where can they find Knowable, and ultimately, you know, what are some of the things you want to accomplish in 2020?
Well, thanks again, Caleb, for making the time. Knowable, you can check us out at knowable.fyi, and we actually have a code for your listeners, which is People in Tech. And if they apply to checkout, they can get 50% off any of our courses. And what's next for us is more courses, continuing to find the best experts in the world and working on scaling high quality education to as many people as possible. And hopefully connecting with more people like you who are entrepreneurial and inspiring and leading by example.
Awesome. Day one listeners, do not worry, I'm going to link all that information in the show notes, including the promo code. And the one thing I forgot to say, Warren, but like the reason I think I was really hooked, I like the idea, but taking a launch a startup course, my day one listeners know I'm a huge sneakerhead. And the fact that going through this course and I'm hearing about the CEO of GOAT talk about, these are some of the things we went through. We had a day where our site got hit so hard, everything was going down. I was like, these are good problems to have. And I'm like, holy crap, I was probably the person helping crash the site. So again, very great content, day one listeners. So I'll make sure to link all that in the show notes below. Warren, thank you so much for being on the show, man. Really appreciate it. And I'd love to check in next year, see where you guys are going and what's next.
Anytime, Caleb. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right, day one listeners, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on the People in Tech podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at peopleintech.io and join our mailing list for more content. Later.